Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts, chapter 16. Pastor John told you of all the things that are coming up, but man, ladies, you do not want to miss this coming Friday night. It's going to be on like Donkey Kong. It's going to be on like neck bone. If you Southern, you know what that means. It's going to be on like neck bone and hog jaws. Amen. It's going to be on. Our worship team will be here doing the worship, and then Jamie Massey is going to come in and minister. She is a wonderful, wonderful woman of God, full of the power of God, and I'm looking forward to being. You may go, Pastor, what are you going to be here? Because you're a guy. I just said the worship team is going to be doing the worship, so I'm going to kind of sit in here and sit in the back out of the way and listen and be a part. Amen. So you want to come and be a part of that also. Hey, guys, motorcycles, if drive your motorcycles next Sunday. If you don't normally drive, drive your motorcycles. We'll have special parking right out in front of the sanctuary on the concrete out there. We'll have it sectioned off. Bring your motorcycles. We're going to pray over the motorcycles. You know, some of you wear your leather. I'll be in my leather next week. I'm not going to be, it might be too hot to be in leather, but I'll be in my vest and my riding boots and things like that. And I'm going to go get a couple of artificial tattoos put on me and stuff. And I'm going to look like a biker. No, I'm just kidding. I ain't going to do all that. But we're going to have a good time. So those of you who do ride next Saturday will be our Riders with a Fog monthly ride. So be here at 9:30 on Saturday morning, and we ride. Where do we go to? Who gives a rip? If you're a true motorcycle guy, who cares? You just ride. That's what we do. Amen. So be here. We're going to have a great time. The book of Acts chapter 16, if you're there, say amen. Verse 23 says this, "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately the doors were open and everybody's chains were loosed." You didn't catch that, did you? Everybody's chains were loosed because somebody decided at midnight, instead of belly aching and crying, just to start praising. I'm telling you that there is something spectacular that happens in your midnight hour. Because at midnight, how many knows that it changes? At midnight, there's a new day that begins and the old is passed away. So midnight in your crisis is not a chronological time, but it is a chronos time in God's timing that says that the old is gone and there's a new day coming. You, my God, help me. You can't see the sun at that time, but you know it has turned. You know that the time has turned and you just got to give it a little time for the day to begin to break and the new day be there. Can you say amen? So suddenly there were a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everybody's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence in this place. We don't take it for granted, but we give you thanks for showing up this morning and touching our lives and touching our hearts and encouraging us. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Have you ever gone through a painful period in your life when you suddenly felt all alone and abandoned by even God himself. I want to talk to you for a little while this morning on where is God when I hurt? Where is God at when I hurt? Where is God when I'm going through the situations and it seems like that God is nowhere around? It's hard to find the hand of God in the hard times, but it's easy to find it in the good times. Can you say amen? It's not real hard when things are going your way to find the hand of God, when he's blessing you, when he's you see in almost a tangible fashion of his power at work in your life. It's not that hard to sing when you're up on the mountaintop. It's not that hard to sing when your health is good and your job is good and your finances are good and everything seems to be going your way. Your family is good and the enemy is at bay. But sometimes when we need God the most, when the bottom seems to have dropped out and confusion and anxiety rushes into your life, when finances are not good, when sometimes you feel alone, and those are the very times it seems that God is the farthest away. Am I talking to any real people in here today? I'm not talking about just some fanciful, this is what we say to people who don't know Jesus. I'm talking about the real folks who know a real Jesus, who have real issues with real problems, but they know they serve a real God that is touched by their infirmity. I'm talking about when God seems so far away, when everybody's lost your number and you think even God lost your number. When it feels like that you've been beat up from the feet up, tore up from the floor up. Everything has gone wrong in your life. Now, of course, we don't say that. We don't admit that. But we find ourselves fighting for sleep. Fighting and wrestling with fear and failure and whispers into the darkness that surrounds us like a shroud that asks us, where is God? Oh, and then you've got all those people who come to your aid and go, where is your God now? I thought you wasn't supposed to go through anything like this. I thought that since you knew Jesus, that he was your protection. I thought that he was your provider. I thought that he was your everlasting. I thought that nothing bad was supposed to happen to you now that you know Jesus. But we need to be honest and upfront with this thing that we call the Christian walk. Despite what some name and proclaim, the word of God is clear. And it clearly teaches us that there is going to be days of tribulation. He said, in this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. This peace that I leave with you, not the peace of the world, but the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This peace I leave with you. In the psalmist David, he said in Psalms 46, he says that 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I shall deliver them out of them all. I've come by to tell you that it rains on the just and the unjust. I come by to tell you that the storm doesn't just skip your house every time that a storm comes through. I've come by to tell you that it floods to the righteous and it floods to the sinner. I've come by to tell you that it doesn't matter how much faith that you have, sometimes life just happens. Woo! I just may preach here in a moment. I've come by to tell you that there are days of suffering, that there are days of trial, there are days of spiritual warfare, days of pressure from within and pressures from without. And anyone who tells you differently that you just need enough faith and you'll be immune to these things is trying to sell you a tape series. They're trying to sell you a CD series, because that's not what the Word of God said. Well, if you just have enough, I had one guy tell me this. Well, we have a better revelation than Paul did. I was like, really? Paul's the one that wrote it down. Because he said, if we have enough faith, we will not go through any trouble. I said, somebody need to tell that to Paul. And Paul said, well, and this guy says, well, we have a better revelation than Paul. I took a step back. I said, I don't want to be the other folks on your boat when your boat begins to rock. Come on, somebody. Paul knew what he was talking about. He said that the devil has sent, that there was a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. He didn't say buffet me, right? Buffet means to come against me, to rock me, to come against in a fashion to fight against me, to keep me, to stop me. I've come by to tell you, you're no greater than Paul. I'm no greater than Paul. And if the devil sent a messenger to buffet Paul, he'll send a messenger to buffet you and I, and to try to get us to stop, try to get us to stand still, try to get us to throw in the towel, try to get us to give up. But I've come by to tell you that I've come too far to look back, that I'm closer to Jesus today than I was yesterday, and I'm not going to give up or give in, because I know in whom I have believed. Well, point number one is simply then, where is God then, Pastor, when I hurt? Where is God when I hurt? Point number one. Well, this is the question as many of us may have asked. But it brings us face to face with the real blessing and power of Christianity, that it does rain on the just and the unjust. The rain, the winds, the waves beat on the house of the foolish, and it also beat on the house of the wise. It beats on the house of the sinner, and it beats on the house of the righteous. Well, then what's the good then, Pastor? Hang on. Just let me preach. Don't push me. Mountains don't exist without valleys. But the strength of the Christian message is not that we are immune to pain and suffering. Is that the power of the proclamation is that we are never have to walk alone while we're in the midst of the valley. I've come by to tell you that Jesus, the most righteous man and only sinless man to walk the planet Earth, was faced with tribulation and trouble. He was crucified between two thieves. I've come by to tell you that joy and pain ought to live in the same neighborhood. Wait a minute, Pastor. Then what's the difference? I just told you the difference. That is, I never have to walk alone. I may have to go through the valley. But David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hey, I've come by to tell you that everybody walks through struggles. There are times when I don't know what to do. There are times that I go through things, I'm not sure what the right answer is. So when I don't know what the answer is, I hold on to the answer himself. I hold on to Jesus, because he said, I walk with you and I talk with you in the good times and in the bad times. If I'm in the pit, he is in the pit with me. If I'm in a palace, he's in the palace with me. No matter wherever I find myself, Jesus is there. Jesus said, I will send you another comforter, and he shall abide with you forever. Lo, I am with you always. I will never forsake you. Where is God when I hurt? So glad you ask. He's with me. He is with me, close enough to hear my prayers, strong enough to turn my weeping into dancing again. My God, somebody hear me. You might think it's midnight. You may think it's the 11th hour. Well, hold on, because dancing, morning may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning, and your morning is just about to come. You just keep holding on, because the death and the hell cannot stay with you forever, but Jesus said, I will be with you forever. My God, that's good preaching. Where is God when I hurt? He is there. He is the balm of Gilead. He is the healing balm. He is the great physician. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the paraclete. He's the comforter who walks by my side and holds my hand in the dark and weary land. It is he that causes me to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But let me tell you, I'm not going to camp at the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to walk through. The devil's convinced some of y'all that the valley has been so long that that's where you are to live. But you just keep walking. You keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I might not can feel God's hand right now, but I will trust his heart. Hallelujah. Well, what is God doing Point number two, what is God doing then, Pastor, when I hurt? What is God doing? Well, he's twiddling his thumbs. You want to know the answer? That's the answer. That's not the answer. That's the answer that the devil wants you to believe. That's the answer that other people want you to believe. What is God doing? If God is there when I hurt, then it begs the question, what is he doing? It begs the question, don't be offended. Is he powerless to help me? Or is he unwilling to help me? Why is he allowing me to go through this valley? Or here's what some folks will tell you. Now, some folks, religious people, will tell you this. What'd you do? What'd you do to bring this upon you? Now, listen to me. Some of us, we sometimes, let me be real. We do things to bring things upon us. Amen? You treat your wife, you know, like a dog, and then wonder why her love has waned for you. You treat them with disregard and you wonder that why they've left you and went to somebody else because the fact that they're giving them more attention than you did. Huh? I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying. You know, we forget, you know, you a man that don't work, don't eat. Right? That's just biblical. So there are things that we do to invite things upon us, but most of your religious people, when you go through things, will say, there must be something you did to bring this upon you. So what is he doing then? Here, let us, that's what David said in Psalms 23. For thou art with me, I must remember that I am not alone. So let me give you a couple of things. What is God doing then, Pastor, when I hurt? First, God is walking with me. And that messes with me a little bit to think that God would be beside me and still let some of these things happen to me. But how many, if you, those of you who had children, sometimes you just got to let them learn their own lesson. Because there are things that they do that they won't do because they've learned from me. All right? That they, yep, you know, a wise man learns from his mistakes. A wiser man learns from somebody else's mistakes. But there are some things that you will not learn that unless you go through them yourself. But once you go through them and you realize the folly of your walk, then you will never forget that principle as long as you live. So the first thing that God is doing, that God is walking with me. And you may go, wait a minute, Pastor, if God's walking with me, then how can I be going through everything that I'm going through easily? The Bible tells us that God told Job that God had set an end to darkness. What does that mean? That means that God said, Job, the enemy's coming to mess with you, but I have set some parameters where he's not able to cross over. He's not going to be able to touch this, that, or the other because I've got a hedge around you. And whatever is taken from you is not needed for you to complete what I've called you to do. If you needed what he took, I wouldn't have let him taken it. So therefore, if he took it, either I'm going to bring it back or I'm going to give it to you new again, whatever it might be. Hey, so first of all, God is walking with me. He's in the valley with me. He's in the furnace with me. He's in the boat on the stormy sea with me. He will not leave me alone. Secondly, God is talking to me. He's walking with me, but he's talking to me. Now, I may not be listening, or I may have trouble hearing. But the Spirit of truth is guiding me, giving me answers, and praying through me when I don't even know how to pray. My God, somebody hear me. That I know, when I don't even know how to pray, that the Spirit maketh intercession for me. When I don't even know what to say, the Spirit maketh intercession for me. He is with me, and he's talking to me. The problem is we're so busy trying to bail the ship out that we're not listening. Reminds me of the boys who had Jonah on their ship. And they go, we don't know what's going on. And Jonah says, it's me. And the boy says, we're not working hard enough. They disregarded what Jonah said. Some of us, we're saying, God, what's wrong? And God's talking and we're disregarding what they're saying because we're too busy doing the things that we think will get us in, back into a right place to cause that harm to get away from us. The third thing God is doing, He's bringing me through it. I want that to sink in somebody. He's bringing me through it. Pastor, I don't think I'm, you coming through it. Well, but Pastor, I'm not going to be the same person I was when I went in it. Good. Because God saw something in you that needed to come off of you that sometimes would never have been sanded off of you until He put sandpaper to your hide. Oh, somebody hear me. Because, you know, I'm not a craftsman, but I do know a little bit about sandpaper. I do know a little bit about the rough edges, and if you want them to get off, you got to have some sandpaper to come on there and begin to sand. Now listen to me. With all kinds of moving, there is, hear me, I should have wrote this down somewhere. There is no moving without friction. So you can't move into the blessing of God or out of the blessing of God without friction. There's some friction going on, and the friction is what's going to help you. Come on, somebody. We got to understand it. That God is walking with me. He is talking with me. And thirdly, He's going to bring me through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There is a note of victory here that He said, I'm going through. How you doing? Well, I tell you, anybody been in church a long time, we used to have testimony services. Remember the testimony services? And I would say, about a quarter of the testimony services were good. They'd get up, it's supposed to be a testimony service. People get up, well, bless God, I thank the Lord for what He's done in my life. He's brought me through, blah, 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 hallelujah. But then about three quarters of it, you'd get this. Well, y'all need to pray for me. The devil's been on me real bad. And I just don't know what I'm going to do. Bless His name. Or whose name we blessing. Wait a minute. I tell you, I'm just about ready to give up. I tell you. And by the time they got through, I was ready to quit. Amen. But that's what you got to understand. God is bringing me through. I'm going through it. There's a note of victory. He says, I'm coming out the other side because God is leading me. God is holding me and God is helping me. So when in your darkest time, when you don't know where God is, know that He's walking with you, that He's talking with you, and He's going to bring you through. Number four is this. Fourth, God is perfecting my faith. And if you ain't ever been through nothing, you don't know that your faith has anything. See, they tell me that the Marines, the Army, whatever armed forces, police officers, they train, and then retrain so that when something happens, it's almost an automatic response where you don't have to think. Because if you have to think, it might be too far. If you have to think about it, it might be too late to respond. All right? But the problem with so many of us Christians is we don't ever want to go through anything, so therefore we don't know if our theory of God is right or not. I know people who had faith in their faith. Does that make sense? They had faith in their faith, and then they went through some things and lost stuff and lost their faith, not in God, but lost their faith in faith. Their faith was never in God. Their faith was in faith. We don't need to have faith in faith. We don't need to have faith in praise, faith in worship. We need to have faith in God. The God who is praised, the God who is worshiped, the God who says have faith. We need to have faith in Him and nothing else. Alright? Because when you know that God is walking with you, He's talking with you, He's going to bring you through, and He's perfecting your faith. You know what? Sometimes I go through stuff and I'll just be start looking around. All right, what am I supposed to be learning? Because I don't want to stay up in here. I don't like this. What do I need to lose? What do I need to take off me? What is there God trying to transform in me? What is he trying to sand on me so that I can go ahead and get my lesson so I ain't got to stay here because I don't like it here? See, listen, here's the problem. Most people don't like practice. They like the game. But until you practice, you ain't ever good enough for the game. Well, but listen, wait a minute. Because we all know people who perform better in the game than they do in practice. But usually those people are short-lived. I don't want to just be a flash in the pan. I want to be steadfast, unmovable. Unmovable. Our faith sometimes get cluttered, soiled by our own sense of pride or power. But God is more concerned that my faith be strong enough and pure enough to get me into heaven than he is in whether or not I can have a new car or live in a new house. All right? If there is anything in my faith that is failing or faulty, God loves me enough to bring me through a fiery trial, because the fire can only burn off the dross and leave the gold. Woo! Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, God is talking with me. He's with me. He's walking with me. He's talking with me. He's bringing me through. He's perfecting my faith. And God is being touched with the feeling of my infirmities. What do you mean? I mean, God is not just sitting aloof off watching you go through it, but he's walking with you feeling what you're feeling. Can you imagine? You know, many of us, you know, those of us who have kids older, we see our kids walk through stuff we wish we could take for them. Don't we? If you go, no, not me, then you're not a real parent. Those of us who love our children, there are things that we wish they didn't have to walk through. Whatever the heartache is. You didn't make the team. You didn't make the band. Whatever. You didn't make this. You didn't get that. Whatever. We want to take that for them. And we, because of our relationship with them, we feel bad when they feel bad, right? God is touched by our infirmities. We know that some lessons will only be learned the hard way. Try as we might to shield our children and protect them, there always comes a day when the best thing we can do is step back and let the lesson of life be learned. But when we do this, we as parents hurt with them, don't we? We sit with them. We hold them. We cry with them. We console them. We are touched by the very things that wound our children. So too Christ, our high priest, is touched by the very feeling of our infirmities. We don't have to ask if he knows what we're going through. Anybody ever asked the Lord that? I have. I'll confess. God, don't you know what I'm going through? You know, you just get a moment of stupid. You're the pastor. I know it. I still get moments of stupid. God, don't you see where I'm at? And God's like, oh no, I'm sorry. I was busy over here with Israel. I was over here on the Middle East trying to deal with some things. I forgot you. You were there. Hang on just a minute. That's not what God does. He's omnipresent. Well, how does that work? I have no idea, because I'm not. Did you catch that? I'm not. I don't know how it works. All I know is he's with me. All right? And he's with you. And he's with you. You. I don't care what you're going through. He's with you. He knows where you're at. He didn't lose your address. He didn't lose your phone number. He knows where you're at. He told Moses, I love this, he told Moses that I've heard the cry of my people and I have seen their affliction. He's not sitting in the distance dispassionate about what's going on in your life. He said, I heard your cry. I see the affliction of my people. And the writers of Hebrews go one step further and tell us that God feels our pain. And he invites us to come to Papa God. though he abides on the throne high and lifted up, he invites us to come to him, leap into his lap, and let him hold us when we need him the most. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there are times that, man, I just have to crawl up in the lap of Daddy. You know, my mother died 30 years ago. And there are times as an adult, I wish I could just crawl up in the lap of my mama. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just, you know, you might have that relationship with your dad. My dad and I were okay, but I didn't have that relationship with my dad. I've never crawled up into the lap of my dad, but I crawled up in the lap of my mom a few times when I was young. And there are times I wish I could just do that because it would seem like everything would be all right. But can I tell you the times when I've thought that, the Lord said, listen, I will be your mama if I need to be. Come on, slam up into my lap and everything's going to be all right because I'm going to walk with you through it. I'm going to talk with you through it. I'm going to bring you through with victory. I'm going to perfect your faith, and I am touched by what you're feeling. Now listen, now I want you to hear this. I think it's my next slide. Give it to me. Is this it? Yeah. We may find the hand of God in the good times, but we are more likely to find the heart of God in the hard times. Yeah, you can see the hand of God, but what about the heart of God? Because I know a lot of people that as long as everything's going great, they're with you. I'm with you. But let you look like you're outnumbered by the enemy. Well, ain't no use in all of us dying. Somebody's got to live to tell the story. How many know what I'm talking about? Somebody's got to live. I see you. But in the hard times when you find the heart of God, God stands with you and goes, I'm with you. As long as you're with me, I'm with you. And I don't know about you, but when I'm with my big brothers, I get you know, especially when I was younger, I get a little bit more cocky. My brother two above me was named Jesse. And Jesse was a bad boy. I mean, Jesse was bad. His name was known throughout middle school, and he had already left middle school, and I was in there alone. And I remember these two guys was about to jump me. I don't know why they would jump me. I was so sweet. But they were about to jump me, and boy, I was getting ready to fight, and somebody said, you boys do know that's Jesse Reed's brother. And the boys was like this, and they went, oh, it's all good. And all of a sudden, something rose up in me. I don't know. My walk changed. How many know what I'm talking about? My walk changed. Oh, no, no. Mm-mm. No, you wanted some of this. I was in a defensive posture, but when my brother's name was mentioned and they backed down, I go, oh, hold up. Y'all want some? Bring it. Quit singing it. Bring it. And they didn't want no part of me, not because of me, but because of my big brother Jesse. When the powers of hell are overshadowing you and they're talking about you, and they know, they begin to, somebody, you need to tell them, don't you know who I am? I'm a child of the living God. Don't you know that my big brother is named Jesus? And you better back up or back down, or he's about to come in here and whoop some folk up in here. Woo! Something changes. But you know what? You better not make the claim unless you know it's truth. We're not promised immunity from suffering, but we are promised victory through the suffering. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I shall deliver them out of them all. I have no doubt that there are some here today who are hurting. In your own mind, you know that God is near, but your experience seems to be contrary. God wanted me to tell you to run to the mercy seat. God wanted me to tell you, leap into his arms. Leap into the arms of your Lord and let him hold you in the shelter of his wings until the storm passes. I've been told, you know, the Bible teaches us in Psalms that God will take his wings and place over you. And I read a story about a fire in a chicken coop. And when everything was done, they found a hen burnt to death. But they moved it, and the biddies, the little chick babies, started walking out because she had sheltered them under the shadow of her wings. I come by to tell you that God wants to shelter us under the shadow of his wings. I can hear the wind. I might even can feel the waves. But I know in whom I have believed. You're not going down. You're not going under. He's going to bring you through. You'll be stronger in faith. You'll be closer to God. You'll be prepared to help others. Come on, stand to your feet. If you don't know him, if you're not sure that you could call on the Lord and know that he is your God and know that he is your brother, every head bow, come on, bow your heads with me. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't know Jesus, but you need to. Come on, lift your hand right now. Just, I'm not going to ask you to come up here. Just say, Pastor, I need to know Jesus. Anybody in this room? Hallelujah. Down, come on, lift your hands. Some of us may just need to proclaim where we are in him. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare in my life, it's not over. I declare in my life that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of my life. I know it's dark just before dawn. This is the hardest season you've experienced. And I know it hurts. It won't be too long. You're closer than you think you are. You're closer than you've been before.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.